Welcome, Dr. Brian Ott.
Thank you.
You see a lot of patients who have Alzheimer's or have the early signs of Alzheimer's. Many people this Thanksgiving will be seeing relatives that they haven't seen for a while. Can you just start by giving us a sense of what signs or symptoms might give someone pause to think maybe there's a problem here?
Right, yeah. So the holidays are a big time when friends and relatives come by and say, what happened to mom or dad or grandpa since the last time I saw them a year ago? And, you know, the warning signs are usually a change in memory function, but we all forget. And so the question is, when is forgetting a problem or when is there a red flag? And in general, we use forgetting that actually impairs one's ability to function in daily living activities is really the marker for a disease rather than normal age-related memory change. So if someone's having trouble shopping, finding their way while driving, financial affairs, things of that matter because of their forgetfulness, then it's really not normal aging. Then you have a problem to deal with.
At Rhode Island Hospital, you are one of the sites for several national or multinational clinical trials. Let's start by talking about some of the promising efforts to slow down the process of Alzheimer's. What is that process and what are some of these drugs attempting to do?
Right, so the disease called Alzheimer's is made up of two major what are called biomarkers or pathologies. One is amyloid, which is a protein that builds up in the form of plaques in the brain, and neurofibrillary tangles, which contain a protein called tau that builds up in the nerve cells themselves and is more directly related to the nerve cells dying.
So nerve cells are dying and things are getting tangled in the brain.
In the cells, right. And then you have these deposits of this protein called amyloid building up, which we're not sure. It could just be a marker of the disease process. But there are many people think that that protein may actually be toxic to brain cells. So in approaching a person who has established Alzheimer's disease with symptoms, one would like to reduce that pathology or at least block it from continuing to develop in the brain.
One of the trials is of intranasal insulin, and that really surprised me. What's the thinking right now about how insulin, that's a drug normally used with diabetics, how could insulin potentially play a role in slowing the progress of Alzheimer's disease?
Right. There's a lot of great interest in the metabolic problems of the brain of a person with Alzheimer's disease. And one of those metabolic problems appears to be a resistance to the action of insulin on brain cells. Your brain cells require glucose or sugar to function metabolically, and insulin drives that glucose into the cells. But the brain cells in the Alzheimer patient's brain seem to resist that activity, which may be why they don't work so well and maybe why they tend to degenerate. Hmm. Based on that idea and the observation that the brain is resistant to insulin, an approach has been developed to administer insulin to the brain. You don't want to take it systemically because if you do, you'll drop your blood sugars to dangerous levels, unless you're a diabetic. So by giving it through the nasal route, the insulin gets absorbed through the olfactory nerve into the brain, and the rest goes down into your digestive system and gets chewed up and never gets into your system. So it's kind of a direct delivery system to the brain of insulin. So we're conducting that trial right now. There's been preliminary studies showing that it can improve cognitive functioning in people with mild cognitive impairment and early Alzheimer's. And in the current trial, we're actually looking at biological markers of Alzheimer's disease itself to see whether the insulin administration reduces those markers of the disease.
And you're actively recruiting participants for these trials that could slow the progress of Alzheimer's disease.
That's correct.
You're also at Rhode Island Hospital, Dr. Brian Ott. You're also looking at ways to maybe prevent the development of Alzheimer's disease in people who are at risk. What are some of the most interesting questions being asked right now about preventing Alzheimer's?
Most of our medications now just treat symptoms. In fact, that's all they do. And we're thinking now that Alzheimer's disease needs to be treated similarly the way we treat atherosclerosis.
What's that?
With atherosclerosis, the process starts in your midlife and plaques build up in your vessels. When it gets to a certain threshold, you block the vessel and you have a heart attack or a stroke. If you wait till you have the heart attack or stroke, you're too late. Similarly, with Alzheimer's, we see plaques developing in the brain that probably do develop in midlife and build up until they get to a certain threshold where you start developing symptoms. So we're thinking, just like in atherosclerosis, we want to prevent heart disease and stroke. We really need to think about ways to prevent Alzheimer's disease from actually developing. And then we have a truly effective way to treat the disease.
So what are some of the most promising methods by which we might slow the progress? What are you excited about?
We have two approaches. One approach is what we call secondary prevention, where you identify people who have the biological markers of the disease, even though they have no symptoms. And those people are particularly high risk to go on to Alzheimer's dementia. So with those people, we would take drugs or antibodies that are directed against the amyloid to prevent the plaque from building up. So that's called secondary because it's already started in those people. Mm-hmm. That's one approach. The other approach is more the public health approach, which is what can you do that's that can be applied inexpensively and across the board to everybody to reduce their risk of getting Alzheimer's. That's called primary prevention. And the roads we believe to primary prevention are similar to the roads to prevention of heart disease and stroke, mm-hmm. reducing hypertension, obesity, hypercholesterolemia, also strengthening the brain through things like education and also improving brain health through things like exercise, but also maybe through better education, making the brain more resistant to what Alzheimer's does to the brain-cell connections.
So you could sort of build up some resilience and maybe prevent Alzheimer's or delay its onset through some healthier behaviors?
Exactly. We call that either cognitive reserve or brain reserve, or a combination of both approaches.
10 years ago, 15 years ago, a diagnosis of Alzheimer's was a death sentence in a sense. How are we thinking about it today?
Well, we think of Alzheimer's as a treatable disease. Ever since the late 1990s, we've had drugs that help alleviate symptoms. And that was a big change in the whole mindset and led to people actually getting diagnosed with the disease. But now we're in the next stage where we're developing treatments to slow or hopefully prevent the disease. And because of that, now people are coming in before they have dementia when they're just having memory problems.
Dr. Brian Ott is with Rhode Island Hospital. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.